You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Hey, this Monday, May 20th, I'm going to be taping a live Song Exploder interview at WBUR City Space in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to be interviewing Fen Lily, whose last album I really loved. If you've ever been curious to hear a full, unedited Song Exploder interview, this is your chance. The folks in the audience will get to hear that and no one else. And then after our conversation, Fen Lily is going to play a few songs. Go to songexploder.net/live to get tickets. I'm also going to be playing a show of my own the day before in Keene, New Hampshire at the Thing in the Spring Festival. That's on Sunday, May 19th, and it's a really great lineup of singer-songwriters that includes Buck Meek from Big Thief and Nina Nastasia, whose album The Blackened Air is one of my all-time favorite Steve Albini recordings. You can find tickets for that at songexploder.net/live also. Okay, hope to see you at one or both of these events in New England. Thanks. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And Song Exploder listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Song Exploder. Terms and conditions apply. This episode contains explicit language. In 2013, Warpaint started working on their sophomore album. They retreated away from their home in Los Angeles to the nearby desert oasis of Joshua Tree, California. There, they wrote the song Love Is to Die, and it was decided that it would be the single from their upcoming record. Now, with over 6 million plays on Spotify and nearly 3 million more on YouTube, Love Is to Die is, by some measures, their most popular song. Designating it as the single was a decision that was easy to make early on, but it also carried unforeseen consequences for the band. In this episode, three of the four members of Warpaint break down the sounds in the song and weigh in on some of the difficulty they faced getting this track from the initial idea to the finished recording. This is Warpaint on Song Exploder.
This song actually was probably my favorite thing that we'd ever done. It started off, in my opinion, in such a magical, amazing place that was written in like 5 minutes. We rented a house. We rented a dome. We set up in the living room, put our amps, mics, all of our instruments, and we had a little home studio. Basically just press record for like 12 noon and stopped record at midnight. Hi, I'm Jenny Lee from Warpaint. I play bass. There's a chorus, just a bass chorus pedal. That's my standard tone. How I found chorus was my first amp that I ever got was a PV TNT 150. It was my first amp. It was when we started our band and we were playing in the garage, and it had a chorus built into it. So I always had that on. That was my sound. And so when I stopped playing out of that amp, I missed that sound. So I then went and bought a chorus pedal and decided that that's what I'd be using forever.
And I'm Stella Mosgawa from Warpaint. I play drums and drum sampler.
You started playing along to my loop.
That's an 808 sound that's triggered from my sampler that I play live. Yeah, I'm playing the rim of the tom as well as the sample of the rim shot. Also, when we play live, I'm triggering a keyboard loop that Emily played when we wrote the song in Joshua Tree. That's that gzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz It was basically her just flipping through the different sine and square waves and frequencies on a Nord Electro? Nord Lead, maybe?
Nord Lead.
And Emily just looping, just pressing that same button on the Nord. And then I remember that was when Teresa was just riffing and she started singing Love Is To Die.
Love Is To Die.
Love is to not die. Love is to dance. Love is to dance.
I'm Teresa Wayman from Warpaint. We were just playing the song. We were jamming it. And I was just improvising, singing, and kind of doing gibberish. And then I got that melody. And the words kind of really just came out right away. After that, I took the recording that we made and listened to what my gibberish was kind of saying and plucked out a meaning from all of that. I think sometimes a person can say things in their art that they don't realize or even necessarily mean to say in a rational way at the start, you know, but it actually is a very cohesive idea.
Love is to die. Love is to not die. Love is to dance. Love is to dance and dance and dance.
It's just saying love is the full spectrum from life to death. Love is being alive, and love is also dying and surrendering and being nothing. It's sort of stating that love is all-encompassing. It's everything. I'm in a pretty challenging and beautiful relationship with my bandmates, and we're constantly having to figure out the best ways to operate with each other, you know, and how to be there for each other, how to love each other, but also how to have our own space and be our own person. I mean, that was probably what was spurring the idea, because we were in Joshua Tree and we're spending a lot of time together, and it was just us in this house and us and our creativity and our music. And I think it probably has a lot to do with just what I go through and being in our band.
I think it was a bit difficult to, I guess, figure out what guitar sounded best over Teresa's vocals. And I think that was just, there's not a disagreement, but it was a little slightly hectic figuring the guitars out, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it took many months.
Yeah, it took a while.
The vocal was there, the drums and bass were there, but what was added on top of that was kind of hard to find.
Emily always had this kind of like Latin guitar part that's that dunga dinga dunga dinga.
Yeah. Guitar changed. She didn't know if she was playing keys or guitar, yep. So she kind of switched back and forth with that for a while to try and find her pocket.
Yeah. I think with this song, with Love Is To Die, it kind of had the kiss of death in some way, because when we wrote it, everyone went, that's a single. And that's always a really bad kind of thing to focus on, even if you don't want it to be that way and that's the last thing that you want to kind of think about. It does tend to dictate certain decisions that you make, or the focus gets pulled into this one song. It turned into a song that was quite different to the way that it started.
There was a lot of overanalyzing, overthinking, being, I think, maybe slightly harsh or too critical or just hard. Hard on the song, hard on oneself, and I think we weren't agreeing on certain things. People wanted to take it in a slightly different direction. It was one of the songs where there was a lot of like tug of war going on. Mm-hmm. And I think after a while, it was just like that much tug of war, that much resistance, that much fight, that much struggle. It's not good enough, or it needs to be better. It needs to be better, but slowly needs to be better, needs to be better. You start making it worse. And there was also an outro to the song that I was pretty married to.
Nigel, who mixed the song, he
just cut it. He just thought, you know, that's not necessary. The song doesn't need to go there. It definitely takes a U-turn, or just a sharp left turn, comes out of nowhere. But this kind of our trademark in a way, our stamp. It was just the one thing in the song that I was shocked and at least at first didn't agree with and was pretty disappointed. It was one of my favorite parts of the song.
When a band or a label and producers and people start to go, oh, this could be your single, or this could be your hit or something. Sometimes when that thought gets in there before a song is done, that it can really mess with the way people make decisions about the song, that it's got to be right, or it's got to be all it can be, and if it can be that, then how do we do that? You know, it's just kind of a mind fuck.
And now, here's Love Is to Die by Warpaint in its entirety.
This episode is sponsored by Wondery. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire. But when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segeith, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Binge all the episodes of Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, ad-free, right now on Wondery Plus. This message comes from Apple Card. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Song Exploder is sponsored by DistroKid. If you're an independent artist, DistroKid is a great way to get your music distributed. You get unlimited uploads, and you get to keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. There are more than a million artists, including me, who have used DistroKid to get their music into all the major streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, everywhere. The DistroKid app is now available on iOS and Android. Go to the app or Play Store to download it now. And for 10% off your first year's membership, go to distrokid.com/VIP/songexploder. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Find the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Song Exploder. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary, story-driven shows. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia. From PRX.